The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Jeez,
you can't be serious, man. Really, like, you cannot be serious.
No, I know what you're talking about. Muscle, like doing muscle biopsies and all that stuff. And they're still doing it.
They're on, John. Don't keep talking about the music stuff.
Ooh, and it's all right, and it's coming home. We gotta get right back to where we're
starting. Okay, now this is a thought, Don, because you've engaged so much with the four-time or three-time world aerobic champion and one-time fitness champion that you've engaged absolutely magnificently with her, and you said that that's the first time I've ever been asked a question about how I...
Intellectual...
That's easy for you to say that word, Don. Say it. Intellectually. So that's the first time you've been intellectually interviewed.
Stimulated.
Stimulated, yep. Well,
glad I could stimulate you, Don.
Yeah. So here we go, Don. This gives you a chance to, A, get some topics out, and B, for you to ask Sue a question about something, and she could ask you another question about how you've coped with life after football and the horses.
So, Sue, you didn't start off. This is a question to you, Sue.
Here we go, winding up.
Now, as I said to you, we bought aerobics down in the mid-70s at Vital.
Yeah.
Now, you didn't start off as a gym junkie. What were you when you started? Did you just happen to, is it a byproduct, aerobics or whatever it was for you?
I was an Australian gymnast before aerobics and before I bought my health club when I was 19 and a half years of age. Bought a health club when I was 19 and a half. Yeah, so I was a gymnast. So
Institute of Sport, did you tell him
that? Yeah, Australian Institute of Sport, first scholar. So remember when the AIS very, very, very first started, when they had no accommodation for athletes, nothing that was built up there. It was as raw as, so we were billeted out with another family. So I had another mum and dad and brother and a
sister
up there.
What age were you when you went up there?
14 and a half.
How did you find it?
It was pretty tough. Because you couldn't, what did they say, that you weren't allowed, parents weren't allowed to come up to see you because that'd be mentally disturbing, you know. That would disrupt our training.
For how long, Sue?
To 18 months, two years, yeah.
You didn't see your parents for 18 months?
No, they were allowed to do the reverse call, you know, when they, because obviously the calls in those days, so... They called, but they weren't allowed to come up and visit us. So
this is a little bit like Russia, or what we read about Russia.
It was strict. It was sort of...
It's called discipline.
They were finding the rules.
I think this is... That is bad.
They don't want any unwarranted interruptions.
Just shut up, because this is very formative years for a teenager at 14.
Yeah, but I had a great billets, so they were really, really good. So they obviously put us with a great family. But then when we came down to our state championships, you know, like in Victoria, you think you'd be able to stay at your families, but we all had to stay at a hotel so that we're a team.
Did they have an effect upon you growing up?
I don't have any twitches or anything happening.
Now,
it's tough.
Now, that was a bit of a halcyon time for Australian sport when that Institute of Sport started up. It's now not what it used to be, and our performances have dropped off internationally and in a lot of different areas. Am I right or incorrect?
Well, the Australian Institute of Sport was one area in Canberra, so then all athletes came to that one area. That's a slab. Isn't it? A slab of beer when you did each one of us. Everyone would come. So then when you had young athletes and people disturbing, you had to sort of leave your facilities or your hometown, relocate, go to school, university, get a job. So then they formed the satellite city. So it was like the VIS, the New South Wales VIS, AIS. And so they had states so that people didn't have to relocate. So they had a Victorian Institute of Sport, which is down here in Melbourne. So then it's now satellites, which is good. It's some great. And then people still go to the AIS maybe for camps and things like that they do. So it's changed. And obviously,
what about Australia's performance internationally in those various sports? Was it at its peak back then, or are we still up there, do you think, internationally?
I, I think the development over the years of the Australian Institute of Sport going into the satellites, I think the sports have developed a lot because there's been a lot of money thrown at them. And you look at Australia is such a small country. We do really well in the international stands in, you know, a lot of sports, don't we?
For our population.
So I think we're doing pretty good.
It amazes me with these, you being a young gymnast, it's pretty rigorous for a young kid to get involved in it. It's nearly 5 days a week, isn't it, as a six-year-old or a seven-year-old?
We're doing 35 hours a week.
As a what?
As a 14-and-a-half-year-old.
What about as a seven-year-old? They start at that age.
Oh, I didn't. I did dance and gymnastics. I did dance and ballet. Yeah. Okay. So I transitioned when I was 11.
So why did you get out of it?
Because I looked shocking at it. Out of gymnastics?
Yes.
Probably injury. Yeah. Had some stress fractures in the lower back and thought time was enough. So
You weren't too big as an athlete?
I was solid. I was.
What about height-wise?
Well, I'm only 154.5 centimetres.
What's that in? Oh, no,
5 foot and nearly one.
Oh.
So unless I got the 5 foot, my dad said I was going to be a jockey.
Really?
Yeah. So I was pretty happy I made it.
Not a sportsman. Not a sportsman. No, jockeys.
You would have had to put up with the 36 degree heat at Stony Creek yesterday if you're a jockey.
No, no. Well, that would have been bad. But then I went to the Olympics in water skiing.
What?
Yeah, Seoul 1988.
Olympics in water skiing?
Yeah, it was a demonstration sport.
I was just going to say, it's not a normal... Where was that at?
In Seoul, Korea. So 1988. So we did the... So you know in Moomba where you have the skiers and they have the show teams?
Yeah, my work.
Yeah, and then they have the tournament skiing. So the show skiing and tournament skiing with the jump, trick and slalom.
I used to watch all... Yeah.
So you know those three... You know the pyramid and they have three skiers, two and one up the top?
Yep.
So I was the one up the top over
there. Are you from Bendigo?
No, I'm from Melbourne, but I was actually Lake Marwala. So I was from Marwala Water Ski Club, where Max Kerwin was the president, and Max Kerwin was the president of the international.
And he was a car dealer, Mazda dealer out in Preston.
There you go.
And Rosemary Morgan was a water skier from Bendigo, and she made it on television.
Yeah, well, there you go.
There you go.
So what's the Olympic Village like? So.
Oh, it's fun, yeah. And I was up Yarrawonga just recently with a girlfriend of mine, Jackie Cooch, who was in the water skiing with me in 1988 as well. She had all these photos, which I didn't have, and I'm disappointing I haven't taken them, but I've got the album at home, and it was on the village and things like that. So we were running amok. It was just It'd be crazy. It was crazy.
Where do they water ski? America and Australia or anywhere else in
Everywhere around the world.
Really?
Yeah, China, everywhere around the world.
Oh, I thought it was just popular in Australia and America.
Yeah, no. It's pretty good.
Mm. No, keep going, Don. You're on a roll. Don't go on anymore.
Well, he's
just
talkative,
not controlling,
isn't he?
The situation, you feel really out of it.
Not at all, Don. I'm delighted that you've taken over. Topics gone.
Tell me about the boat, Sue. Does he entertain the guests when he goes
back
out?
Back to me. Don, do some topics that so we don't. Come on, bring some of your topics up.
Yep. Where's the crickets?
This never happened when Rudol was looking.
Come on,
that.
Topics. Have you got? You said you had 100 of them.
What's your topics, Don? Come on.
There you are.
He's been scammed, hasn't he?
Hmm. Oh, aren't those emails? Those emails are shocking, and the text messages that are coming through. Have you been scammed?
Yeah, that's one of my topics.
Oh, is it?
I got one from Amazon the other week.
Did you?
Amazon.
The Amazon had said. So I shit myself. We're going to take money out of your account if you don't reply to this text.
And you have an Amazon account?
No. And well, so I went to the bank and they told me, no, just disregard. That's a scam.
Oh, really? And you
didn't
have an Amazon
account? And another
friend
of ours, acquaintance of ours, Mel Burnian, a former football coach, got scammed $2,500. He pressed onto Linked. You know, Link? Mm. Link, the... freeway people.
Yep.
He had an outstanding invoice of $2,500. Without thinking, and you press onto that link, and he was done for $2,500.
Serious?
Yeah.
A little bit of a trick, you know, when you actually open the email, don't click on anything in the body, but up on the top where it says linked, you know, if you just click on that where it says what the URL of where it comes from, click on that and it will say ABC at informedmedia.com. Co or something like that, and that way you know it's a scam because it doesn't come from Linked.
I can't work the
you've
computer,
lost him,
sir. You've lost me, kid. I
very
can't work.
Easy, yeah.
I can't work the computer.
I'll show you because it's very easy not to get scammed because my mum and dad do exactly the same. So don't click on anything. Yep. If you want to do it, just click on the URL.
That's one of your topics linked on, is it?
Mm.
So go on. What happened
well,
then?
Well, why can't we... Aren't we protected in this world with regard to scammers or this computer?
What do you reckon?
Well, why aren't the authorities out there doing something about it?
Well, they're trying to, but the hackers are a step ahead of everyone, Don.
It's like
go on, cross that off. What's your next topic?
What's on the list, Don?
What's on the list, Don?
It'll be the train to Mount Gambier.
Hang on, it'll be horse riding Hawthorn Football Club.
4 years ago, when we started this podcast, the topic of conversation and the controversy which was out and about was the scandalous behaviour of the Casey Council in approving various developments that were going out there. A former teammate of mine was involved because he was mayor of Casey at the time. And we haven't heard anything about this, but towards the end of that saga, one Daniel Andrews was mentioned because the developer apparently had lunch with him.
Any idea
Do you think that the state government have just...
What was the controversy about these Casey Council?
The approval of various developments.
Thank you.
Paying under the lap to get these things approved. Or
thank you. Well, that gives it relevance now to what you're talking about.
Anyway, what has happened? Is it because the Premier's name was mentioned having lunch with the developer that this has just been put on the back burner?
Swept.
4 years ago.
So
and still swept under the counter.
Well, we don't know. What's going on with it? I mean, the mayor... who was another mayor who fled overseas when this controversy happened, has returned to Australia. He's here, so they can go ahead and prosecute. Why aren't they prosecuting? Maybe the Premier's mixed up in it somewhere.
Oh. You're not saying that there's been corruption and dishonesty in the government,
are
you?
I'm asking a question. All you can do is
we must get on to Ian Cook and ask him how that's going. How is that going? Hope he doesn't... if he's got the stamina... Hope he continues with all that. Eventually, he will be...
I think he was right, and I had a conversation with a Victorian judge.
You did?
And...
Who?
A lot of these legal people now, and I know a few friends in it, are really rusted on Labor.
Yeah, left wing. That's right.
No, but hang on. These are political appointments.
That's
people
right.
People who are in positions of power like this should be... It shouldn't be a political appointment. The Liberals are guilty of it. And Labor. And what Ian Cook said was he's going to go to the Supreme Court. It'll get knocked back there because of... Then he'll appeal in Victoria, get knocked back, and he may have some sense or may get just if he goes to the High Court of Australia.
Or goes to goes over to Britain and goes to the High Court of...
Can you go that high?
Westminster system. Westminster system. He might take it to the High Court of Britain, seeing as we're territory? We're a territory of Britain, aren't we still?
Colony.
Colony is the word, colony. Ivan. Is that so? Well done, Don. Topic. You did that. You did the...
The other thing.
Did the
Casey Council. You did the scam.
What shits me? We should have a column, What Shits Me.
We'd clean that up a bit, Don. What bugs me? And then you can use the other term, if you like, just in a side.
Did
but
you
we
see,
won't have
did
a...
Did you see the ads that have just appeared in the last week about bushfires on the television?
No.
How hypocritical...
What are the
ads? Be prepared for bushfires. Make sure you got everything in place. Why haven't we been doing burn-offs and mosaic burning?
Because there's been floods, Don.
What?
There's been floods.
Mate, any idiot who lives in the country, and this is all done by people who live in the city, make rules for the people living in the country. They've got no practical ideas whatsoever. And the people in the country are neglected. And they've been crying out for ages about mosaic burning and planned burn-offs to get rid of the undergrowth. We are in for another bushfire.
You've seen the ads
season.
They put on, they say, when it rains, drive slower. They put those ads on. Why would you have to put an ad on to say to people to drive slower in the rain, Don? Have you seen those ads? wipe off five. Don't speed up over pedestrian crossings, because if you drive at 5 kilometres or less, you won't run over someone. I would suggest that if you're driving at 5 kilometres less, the people should get out of the way if they're on the pedestrian crossing. We give far too much leniency to people walking across the road.
Do you look both ways when you cross across a zebra crossing?
People look at their phone and just walk onto it, hoping that the cars will stop.
Question.
Do I look both ways?
Well,
my word, I do. My word, I do, Don.
You take ages to get across the pedestrian crossing with that ankle.
That's correct. That's why I look both ways, Don. I don't want to be run over by a B-double. Any more topics, Don, before you've managed to go 14 minutes by carrying an interview with Sue and doing some inane topics that no one can understand? Give us your last one.
Why are you in here, Sue?
I just live across the road, so I just popped in.
Yeah. She came.
That wasn't your red car that was parked out the front last week. You got a dirty notice from his lordship.
No,
that car hasn't come back.
Well, why would it?
Oh, well, geez, I'd be shit frightened with what you wrote on.
Why did I write on it?
Oh.
Now, what did I write in it?
Well,
Don?
It certainly frightened the person
Don,
off.
Don, it wasn't a dirty note. What did it say?
Please do not.
What did it say, Don? Don't say I wrote dirty notices on people's cars. I didn't. What I said, is there a reason why you've parked here?
That's
a question. Of course there is a reason.
What?
Of course there is a reason.
Well, then it was rhetorical. That person is not parked here again. And we had that discussion about, would you park in someone's spot that had a name of a business on it, or would you park in their spot? Don.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then, taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Let the tyres down.
Well, that'd be a bit of overkill. I might have if they kept doing it.
Well, then they wouldn't move it.
Well done, Ivan. Yeah, I might. Or smash the window. What about just get a hammer and smash the windows
well, that's
or something?
Not that's, I wouldn't put that past you.
Well, if they kept doing it, I might. Now, Don, any more topics before you've got to be able to go more than 16 minutes. I've left you on your own here. Just shows you a ship without a rudder. Go on, give us a final topic so that you don't whinge when we get outside. You've done the Casey Council, which you spoke about 4 years ago.
I went for a trip around memory lane yesterday. I had to quote a job in Box Hill. That's where I grew up. I saw two Anglo-Saxon signs in Box Hill. On the shops. I couldn't get over the high rise. I haven't been out there, as you realise, for years and years. So, having grown up in Box Hill, how do they get through all those big high rise buildings that are now in Box Hill? When I was growing up, the two biggest buildings in Box Hill was the Presbyterian Bluestone Church in Whitehorse Road and the Town Hall, which is up the other end. They were the two biggest buildings. Now, they are just insignificant.
And the relevance of the Anglo-Saxon signs, what does that mean?
Well,
if it's inhabited by a community of, say,
Asian.
Well,
Multicultural.
No, it's one culture, isn't it?
Multi.
How do you work multi?
Well it's if it's inhabited by an eclectic bunch of people who are immigrants or who have settled here or might have been born here and they're building buildings, that's fair enough that they have...
That it was ambitious middle class when I was growing up.
Yes.
Now
it's been taken
it's
over as a...
different
changed.
To what...
Now it's been inhabited by
and the houses,
people of the same kind.
They do not show and haven't got the same community... awareness or whatever, because it was very, as I said, ambitious middle class, and they looked after their homes, mowed the front lawn and the nature strip.
And your point,
now,
Don.
The nature strips are up to your knees. They're not house conscious, house proud, or whatever else. The place has gone to rack and ruin, Box Hill.
Gone to the dogs, has it?
It has.
So this is where you used to frequent your own, where you originally grew up, Don, out in Box Hill, and you're disappointed that the nature strips aren't growing now, are you? Aren't mowing. The nature strips are not mowing.
No, community.
And there's no signs that you can read.
They're not community proud, John.
Right, Don. Well,
You don't have a business, do you, Don? Mowing lawns?
Yeah, well that's part
there
of
we
it.
Go.
That's part of it.
Drumming up business.
Why don't you go out and leave some leaflets in front of these Anglo-Saxon names that are not there and say you could get someone to translate your name into Chinese and you could say, I'm Don Scott and I can come out
Maybe
and mow
you
your lawn.
Just go out and hand out leaflets.
Hand them out.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Well, why don't you?
No, you. You could
help. Me? I'm not in the lawn mowing business, Don.
No, but you're...
Any other topics besides your Box Hill where you grew up?
And, technically, Don, if they pay their rates, isn't it then the councils... The nature strip is the councils, isn't it?
And what they... And the very... This, hey, listen, there is a vacancy and we're getting some intelligent questions.
Do you know where
here.
The vacancy is?
No, in right your, here we need a third person with a brain.
The vacancy is in your cranium.
With a brain.
Yeah, well...
Sue, very good point. And what happens, Sue, is the council now fine them, or whatever, they come out and do the... The people will do the nature strip because they can get fined. But the council have got no jurisdiction once they get into your front lawn. So they'll do their nature strip when they get a council notice, but leave the front lawn. So it's as high as your knees anyway. The nature strip's done, but not the lawn
not
inside.
The lawn in the front. Yeah. And what about, have you ever had a warning over your bin that you didn't put the right things in your bin or you left your bins out after a day or two?
No.
Oh, they're doing it down here at Docklands.
Docklands?
Yeah.
I live on the peninsula and I think our recycle's going somewhere else. It's not going well,
everyone's
where it's
recycle
to go.
Goes to everyone else. Yeah. They just dump it wherever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, we get nothing. I get my bin picked up every 6 weeks for $3,770 a year.
That's pretty cheap. I'll do it for $1,500.
Okay, Don, this is going well. So we've got up to 20 minutes now. Any more topics? You've done the bins.
No, have you got any topics, sir? Because I don't
Box Hill, Casey,
scams.
What's it? Scams linked. Yeah. Go on. These are good,
Don. Do you follow sports still, Sue?
Always. Okay. Love sport.
What do you think about a week ago? I've got another conspiracy theory. Why did Phil Egan's suitability get questioned as the author of the report into Hawthorne's racial issues, which has now been forwarded to the AFL. Do you think the AFL, this is just purely speculation, conspiracy, tried to discredit him by bringing up something that happened? Or, I'm not saying, I don't understand why.
You think she'd know that, do you?
Well, I'm asking, she's across all sport.
Don't get me started on people thinking that going back with all these years ago and then the trying to get out what that happened those years ago. I'm so anti all that. Like, I think there should be a statutory of declaration of so many years back that you can only go. So, and then everyone is just too scared to say the truth, realistically. So, and then what are they? And if you do say the truth and it goes to the authority, what do they do about it? They don't. They'll turn around or they'll put it underneath the shelf. And then so, what's the good of it's sad. It's
well, they're quite trying to me. They're questioning his qualification or whatever else of something that is supposed to have happened back in 2010. You know, 12 years ago.
Yeah, too long ago. You know.
Well, Don, well, look, hasn't it been fantastic that Sue's come in? She's got...
I said there is a vacancy. The only trouble is you'll get weeded out here. You'll have to...
I'll get what?
Weeded out. Your intellect will not be able to compete with hers, and I'm engaged with her intellect,
yep.
And I'm sorry, well, you'll be just the third.
I tell you
three's
what,
crowd,
if
two's
for
company,
no
three's a crowd.
If for no other reason than it's been great she came in, she managed to ask you... I'm not doing the button yet. She managed to ask you questions that you've never been asked before. And, Don, it was refreshing that she found out that you struggled after you left football. You found horses. Did you find God? You're always on about God and blasphemy and all that sort of stuff.
That was ingrained into me, my grandmother, about blasphemy.
Yeah. Are you a follower?
Of what?
Of God.
A true believer.
What's a bullshit, Don? Yeah.
I can't get over through the Second World War how you'd have the bloody priest praying or the minister praying before you went into battle and you go and get shot. Wouldn't they stop the war? They're hypocrites.
That is the most...
And as the old man said, the only decent religion was the salvos. They were up on the front line helping the soldiers.
That is the most naive thing I've ever heard anyone say, that the priests who pray before they go out to be shot, why couldn't the priests stop the war? Well, should have just rung up
Hitler. Had it on both sides.
Should have just rung up Hitler and said, look, I'm praying for the blokes who are fighting you, Adolf. Would you mind stopping the war? Oh, yes, indeed. So the war stopped as of 4:30. We're stopping the war. Don, on that note, that ridiculous note of your logic and stupidity. Yeah, I will do it. Thanks, Sue, for coming in.
Thank you, Sue.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm moping around the streets late at night. I'm worried because you ain't treating me right.